Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Get back to Tell the Truth Monday coming up at 6:30, where you can call us and let us know what you thought the truth about the game was. But right now, before we get to that, we get to this. The key Commanders that we identified on Friday that we were most intrigued to watch on Sunday. How'd they do? It's our Monday version of the Pick 6.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get to it. It is Pick 6 time. And Anthony, you had number one on Friday, so let's get us started with, well, you know.
Number one.
Yes, number one. Tyler Biadasz. Was that my number?
Yeah, Tyler.
All right, just making sure. I had to go to the list real quick.
Tyler Biadasz.
Yes. So I had Tyler on there primarily because of, you know, his veteran experience, being able to, you know, diagnose who's coming and, you know, just being able to, you know, help the rookie quarterback. And I think for the most part, I think the O-line did a good job, you know, holding up. I feel as though I think they gave up two total sacks, and one was more so I would assume it was a covered sack. Jaden had nowhere to go. But for the most part, I think the O-line did a good job of protecting the
young QB. They did a good job, not a great job, yeah. I would say. So you saw my notes, Ant.
Yep.
And you were like, oh, look at you with the scrambles.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the first thing I did. I was like, okay, I'm going to make a separate, like, column for, or a separate page for the scrambles. So let me take you inside Jaden's scrambles. The first one is on that first drive on 3rd and 21. Wiley loses inside. Jaden doesn't even really look downfield. He gets 4 yards. He gets tackled. Whatever. It's also 3rd and 21. Whatever. Not ideal, by the way, for Wiley to lose quickly, but that's not like a Biadasz identification issue.
Yeah.
4:41 to go in the first quarter. 2nd and 8. They run a bunch of comebacks. Wiley oversets the defensive end. Dubin lined up super wide. Wiley goes out to try to meet him. Dubin pops inside. Jaden picked his matchup, and he doesn't have time because Wiley oversets and he's got pressure. Had his first read been open, that ball's out. It's not. He scrambles. He gets 9 yards on 2nd and 8. Ultimately, not a bad play. 3rd and 4. De'Ami Brown gets held up. He pump fakes to Ertz. He kind of had time. But then Austin Ekeler on this one. This is like, good job, Tyler Biadasz in the O-line. They got everything blocked up. Big thanks to Austin Ekeler. He probably should have made a throw here, but he ultimately scrambles for 17 yards. But like, it was a situation where the first one of the game that results in a scramble pressure where Jaden scrambles, where like they have to pick up a blitz. They have to figure out who's coming. Do I have the right number of people? And they do. And instead of just staying put, Jaden takes off. Again, he probably could have had waited a little bit more. He kind of gets locked on a couple guys who don't win and blah, blah, blah. Second quarter, 10-10 to go. Second and 8. It's a 3-by-1. So they get Terry isolated. Not isolated because he's a part of the three. But they get it to where it's like clear man-to-man. And slot fade. Terry's going deep and it's covered. Oh, God, I'm going to sneeze, Anthony. Oh, this is the worst. When you're about to sneeze and then it's not going to come. And you're hosting a radio show, but there went the sneeze. But what did I do, Anthony, to avoid a fine?
You turned off your mic.
That's right. On that one, there was also a stunt up front, and Coleman completely missed the looper. So that's not on Biotish. They 2nd and 10 with 8:29 to go in the second quarter. He probably had enough time here, but he gets 12 plus the unnecessary roughness penalty. But there's good pass pro. It was literally in my note, good pass pro. Third quarter early on, he had Ertz late, had Terry deep, and he just takes off. That I don't remember the pass pro on that one. And then later in the fourth quarter, he had time, probably gonna let one rip to Zacchaeus, and he ultimately takes off instead. I do think a lot of the pressures are relatively well picked up in terms of assignment. Mm-hmm. There was a couple where some guys came free, especially later, but there's also some of those like later in the down where it's like a delayed blitz situation. But there's some of those too where like that's the call and it's on Jaden to get the ball out. Like I remember one play, I don't remember where in the game, but like Luke McCaffrey realizes there's a corner blitz coming off of him, and Jaden, like he's like, I'm hot, like I'm here right now, and Jaden is looking elsewhere. The blitz doesn't wind up getting home. I can't remember what happened on the play, but like it's good identification. You can see where it's built into the offense to help a guy out. And sometimes blitz pickup is on the quarterback to get the ball out. And I do feel like a lot of the pressures in the game were more guys losing than misidentifications. In terms of like who they need to pick up. I do think there's some times in the run game, if I'm remembering correctly, where there might've been some missed targets. Some of those might've been on Jaden to like flip the play where you're like, I remember one in particular where like John Bates has got to seal the edge and the edge is lined up outside of him. Like it's a run to the left. Bates needs to get to the left of the edge to be able to then turn him back and have an alley behind him. And there's no way he's making that block. And to me, that's hey, we're running into a bad look. What are our options there? And Bates tries and it doesn't get anywhere because you're running into a bad look. So it's stuff like that where I don't know if it's Biotish, if it's Daniels, but I think overall, like Biotish did a good job mostly with that stuff. My bigger gripe with Biotish is like, can you get a little more movement in the run game? I don't think that they got a ton up the gut there. I think they had some good stuff off Cosme and Wiley to the right. They had some good stuff to the other side occasionally, but I think most of their big runs, if I'm remembering, again, this is all up here off the noggin, were more like outside right or kind of in that B gap to the right between Cosme and Wiley. So a little more movement up front, I think, will be nice. But then again, I also don't really need to go too hard on Tyler Biotish because he's trying to move an actual mountain of a man.
Yeah.
Like moving Vita Vea sucks.
Not easy.
So that's the Tyler Biotish story.
Number two
in our pick six, the left tackles. I already mentioned Coleman had that one miss, but I think overall he did a pretty good job. Like, when he was in, I tried to lock in on him a little bit and see how he held up. And like he did an overall good job. There was one big, oh God, now is the time when I have too many notes. But there was like a huge hit. I think the biggest one of the game where Lucas missed. And I was like, oh, that hurt. Ouchies. Lucas beat for sack. Yeah. So that was the first drive of the second half. The sack fumble where our guy Tyler Biotish recovers it. Lucas got smoked on that one. But that happens, and overall he was fine. Got a couple outside runs or outside screens where you're like, I would like someone to be out there a little bit faster because that's not Cornelius Lucas's strength. So I would say my takeaway from the left tackle performances are I'm excited for Brandon Coleman to take on more left tackle snaps. That's not that Lucas did a bad job, but when that job is Coleman's, this offense is better.
Number three.
Oh boy, Anthony.
Man, number three. Number three, them corners that we have out there, Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes. Now, I will say this. Mike Evans did not have over 100 yards, but still,
he had two touchdowns.
He had two touchdowns. He had some big catches. And also, Chris Godwin. They helped both of those convert a lot of third downs. I think when it comes to, like, Emmanuel Forbes, I think you touched on it earlier in the first and 10. It's more so, like, his confidence is, like, it seems shot.
Yeah.
And he has to be able to, you know, play through mistakes. You know, next play. Like, that's what you got to do. And he's young. He's still, like, you know, developing. And I think he just has to, like, get that through his head. But Benjamin St. Juice, the fact that he's very coachable. Dan Quinn, actually talking about him earlier today
I was going to say, I had the bite from last night. It's going to be pretty easy to see when Dan is talking about BSJ here. I would say a lot of the other stuff he says is about Emmanuel, even if he doesn't directly say it.
Yeah, discipline will win it, right? That's what I said. I thought it probably goes further than that. Discipline can also mean holding the right leverage, you know, in a coverage. It can mean, the right gap sound. So I'd say it can probably expand bigger. But sometimes one thing compounds the next. And so when the time of possession, for instance, is that out of whack, I think that's directly correlated to third down. And they were probably close to 70%. And we were about 25%. So it wasn't like one team just controlled the ball on first and second down.
All right, let's get this is the bite that I thought
I just rotated people around. And I think, like, it comes from a place of competing and knowing how to and knowing when to make the right decisions into those spaces. And so that's what we'll work on. Technique-wise, you know, like, usually you ask a player, what'd you see? And if they know how to correct it already, then you're in a good spot. And that was Ben on the first touchdown to Evans. I need to turn the other way. I need to look at, okay, you got it. If you ask a player, and I don't know, that's a bigger concern. And so those guys know the things they need to work on, and that's why it did sting. And there's a lot for us to work on. But third downs, Nick, I would say collectively defensively, I wouldn't put it on one versus the other.
When he's talking about, like, oh, if you look at a guy and he, you ask him what's up and he doesn't know, like, that's not good. That's Emmanuel Forbes. That's not good. Forbes was bad yesterday, just straight up bad. And I think there's not a lot of more weeks in that with the camp he had. Like, he came on really strong at the end. He got his head on straight. He did the things they asked. He was playing good ball. But you got to do it in games. And ultimately, if the lights come on and you shrink away, that's not going to fly for this group. And I don't know what else they can do at corner. I don't know if there's someone they can go out and sign. There's a veteran that's still, you know, being super patient. You know, guys like Gilmore have signed if they can make a trade, or whether you're just going to have to eat it for the rest of the year at that position. But if they decide, like, to me, Forbes is like Dotson. If you decide he's not it, it's time to go. It's time to move on. If you can trade him for something and someone else wants him, it was a first-round pick last year. You should be able to get a conditional something for him. But he's just not worth keeping around if he's not going to be a part of the long term with his, you know, draft position and all that kind of stuff. Because you want to get a guy that's can go play special teams or something like that, or to take Noah Igbinoghene if he's going to be your guy off of special teams. Michael Davis, if he's your guy, making sure that he doesn't have any team's responsibility. So I am curious to see. And by the way, they did go Igbinoghene. Was Davis, like,
he didn't play?
Yeah, he was
on special teams.
So, you know, I thought that was interesting as well. But, you know, by the same token, you talk about the first bite that I played on accident, the discipline and leverage and that kind of stuff. Like, some of that stuff's about Sanders still. Like, he was a rookie in his first game. And so they all have their points to grow on. But, like, with St. Juice, he's like, hey, I know what I did. I'll do better next time. He's got to do it because he also was like that last year. But I think this year I'm more inclined to believe him because of the coaching being better. Sanders still, he plays his ass off, dude. He is all over the tape. Unfortunately, sometimes he's behind where he needs to be. But you can see the makings of a great player. Emmanuel, your mama said you don't got nothing nice to say. You just...
Number four.
All right. Keeping it going here on our pick six. Let's get quickly through the last few. Number four, not much to say here. Dyami Brown was a complete non-factor in this game. You know, we thought he was going to be wide receiver two or be in that rotation. And instead, it was Zacchaeus. You know, Jameson Crowder was more involved. Diami was out there a little bit. He ran like 15 routes in the game, but no targets. Man, like, I guess in some ways I'm totally not surprised. But in another way, I'm kind of surprised because of how well the or how good the chemistry was between Daniels and Diami in camp and in the preseason. So if he can do it there, what's going on here? You got to figure that out. Or maybe they just like Zacchaeus better. They like, you know, Zacchaeus, like he had that one comeback route that was incomplete to him on the side.
Yep.
I thought he got held. But also it's not a great ball. That ball's too far inside. So like, again, like sometimes the production is a quarterback thing. Sometimes it's a receiver thing. The bigger the sample size we get though, the more we're going to figure out which end of the stick that's on.
But I'm not going to lie, Craig. We see a lot of, you know, on those curl and comeback routes, we see a lot of receivers, you know, throw off their arm because they are going to be held. So I think in one of those instances, I think Zacchaeus, you know, he just got to play through it and get some separation. And I think...
Well, yeah, getting separation, that would be nice.
That's everybody, though, like all of our receivers, to be honest. I mean, Terry had the go route where he was, you know, wide open. But outside of that, I think as a unit, they all have to do a better job of just getting open.
No doubt. But they're also, like... only so talented, and that's a reality of the situation. Mixed bag for number five.
Number five.
Frankie Luvu, Anthony. What do you think of Frankie Luvu's day before I get into what I think and what I saw?
To me, it felt as though he was running around with a like a chicken with his head cut off. He was just all over the place. And not to say, you know, he was out of position, but to me it just seemed like he was always out of position kind of thing.
I don't know that I would say he was out of position a ton. I thought his usage was really interesting because they used him as a rusher in a lot of third down situations.
Yep.
Sometimes as a true edge, sometimes as a fifth guy, and they kind of move him around and line him up. And he had a couple of good rushes. I'm still not convinced that the best way to rush him is to not just use him as a blitzer where he gets a running start off the ball. Again, Tampa's... it's something that, like, for all the talk about, like, Tampa's wide receivers and some of the plays that we're like, hey, or some of the places that we're like, hey, Tampa's really good and this is going to be a problem for Washington. We probably didn't talk about how good Tampa's O-line is enough. They're really, really good. And Baker's got great, you know, connections with his receivers. So times that he has to throw quick, like, he's kind of on the same page. But dang, that Tampa offensive line is good. And so I want to see how they use Luvu in weeks to come and how he rushes against not Tristan Wirfs and some of the guys that they have in Tampa. But if that's what it's going to be, he just needs to play linebacker. But, you know, again, some good rushes, but nothing where you're like, oh, my God. As opposed to like Jamin has a couple of plays as a run defender where you're like, oh, my God, what if you could do that as a pass rusher? It just didn't see quite that pop from Luvu. But again, it's week one. And he did make a bunch of other plays. Like he played well, I think, or played all right, I should say, as a linebacker.
Number six.
Last guy, saved the best for last.
Yeah,
I thought Austin Eckler was awesome yesterday. he had one missed block in protection, but he had a bunch of other really good blocks. He ran effectively. He caught the ball and ran effectively. He's a good outlet. Like, Austin Eckler might have been the Commanders player of the game yesterday. When you match the volume with the goodness, like, I don't know that there's anybody that played more better yesterday than Austin Eckler. Maybe Brian Robinson, which tells you where the strength of this team is. And I got to give credit to Cliff, too. One of the adjustments that I really liked in the second half from Cliff Kingsbury is they got away from some of the tight end stuff. I mean, they need to figure out how to get Sinnott a little bit more involved, I think, over the course of time. They'll figure that package out. But they were like, Eckler and Robinson are two of our, I don't know, three, four best players. We need to get them dudes on the field. And so let's just put them out there together. And they did a really great job of being super multiple. They were comeback. They ran one, like, I think this was all in the same drive. They ran that, like, funky eye formation thing where, like, B-Rob was in front of Austin next to Jaden in the gun. They had traditional, like, two backs on either side in the gun. They had one time where they were empty. And you almost, think of, like, the old school wing T where you have, like, almost tight end wing type of players on the edge of the offensive line. One was Eckler, one was Robinson. So they did, and that was the play, I think, where Robinson had the 32-yarder. They snuck B-Rob across, and then Eckler wound up being a blocker downfield. So, like, there was just some really cool stuff that Cliff did with those two guys that I really, really like, and I'm encouraged about moving forward. But, obviously, the rest of the offense needs to join them. But Austin Eckler, loved what we saw yesterday from him. All right, when we get back, 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. It's a Tell the Truth Monday. So you get to speak the truth / your truth about yesterday's game. 301-230-0980. Your call's next on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Anthony, I say we break off a little preview of what's to come. Next week, we're going to have a fully produced, like, open and everything for this. But this is you said it's in the show elements, right?
Yes, sir.
This is the segment. This is the work in progress. Because, you know, week one, it's a work in progress. And just know the open will get bigger and fancier next week.
It's Tell the Truth Monday on The Hoffman Show.
Yeah.
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders. Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Let's get it, babe.
You can hit it. Just I could have just done it with the NFL music the whole time, and no one would have known the difference.
That does sound cool.
But here's the deal. You're going to call us up at 301-230-0980. And in honor of Dan Quinn's Tell the Truth Monday, you are going to tell us the truth about the game. You can also drop a comment in the YouTube chat at the Team 980. Let's go to Jamal. Jamal, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Jamal? Tell us the truth about what you thought about this game against the Bucks, and the truth coming out of it is?
The truth coming out of it is that I feel like we as a fan base, we overrate a lot of players there. Like, prior to watching that game, I like everyone knows, saw Jonathan Allen, DeRon Payne, Terry McLaurin were like prime time players. But as you look at other real players like Chris Jones, or you look at like a CeeDee Lamb, or you look like guys who really are what we say these guys are, they don't do that. And I'm not saying that they're bad players. They're not. But they just aren't what we talk about them to be, as we do here. And I feel like that's evident. I mean, there's too many games with Terry McLaurin just doesn't make a catch to the second half, if at all. And I understand some of that isn't his fault. But, however, that doesn't happen to other guys who have probably the same or worse situation. I mean, hell, Devontae has been consistent, even with Minshew getting them killed. Like, there's other guys who just every year they seem to actually be what they are. And, again, that doesn't mean that these guys won't be good. But right now, they just aren't that. So that's the truth that I'm taking away from it, fellas. And I feel like we can still win 6 to 7 games.
All right, Jamal's phone is going. Thanks, Jamal. Your phone was going out a little bit at the end, but I think it's a great call. I'm going to let you go because your phone's dying on me. But I think that's actually a great call from Jamal, because I will be the first one to tell you that Jamal is correct. Terry McLaurin is not Justin Jefferson. He's not Devontae Adams. He's not CeeDee Lamb. He's not the best of the best in the NFL. But if you call me and tell me that Terry McLaurin sucks, I'm going to tell you you don't know anything about football, and I'm right. Because he doesn't suck. He's really exceptionally good, but he's not so good that he's situationally independent. He is reliant. I mean, to an extent, every receiver is, but it seems like Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, and like some of these guys always find a way, and Terry doesn't. If I was Cliff Kingsbury, I would make sure that Terry's getting those kinds of looks. I would be trying to force him the ball a little bit more, but even yesterday, it just doesn't have the target numbers. And I will say for Terry, I feel bad yesterday, because if he has the one deep catch, that's not his fault. That's Jaden Daniels. He missed him. He's wide open. You have to put that ball on him. He ran right by the corner. And then later, he runs right by a corner and a safety, and Jaden looks to be staring right at him, and for some reason, he doesn't throw it. And like, he has those two catches with the yardage that he has otherwise. We're talking about two catches for, or four or five catches for 150 yards and two touchdowns. And nobody's calling today saying Terry McLaurin's anything other than amazing. And why hasn't he just had a Jaden Daniels all along? And the truth would still be exactly what Jamal just said, which is that Terry is not the same player as like Justin Jefferson, who just needs a quarterback. Those dudes are on a different level, but Terry's still really good. John Allen is really good. But he's not Chris Jones. He's not Aaron Donald. He's not the best of the best. I think that is an important caveat. And it's also why I keep telling everybody that'll listen that this team is years away, because they need multiple blue chip players and they just don't seem to have any right now. I think there's at least two potentially on their roster. I think Sanders still could be an amazing nickel. I think Jaden could be a top flight quarterback. It's going to take time. Because that's how it goes in this league. And if you look at rookies around the league, especially the quarterback position yesterday, we have plenty of proof of that. Tell the Truth Monday here on the Hoffman Show, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Vincent. Vincent, what you got for your truth on this Monday?
Well, the truth is, what I see is the same thing I've seen in Dallas with Dan Quinn. They can't stop the run, and the pass defense sucks. And the same thing Dallas was experienced with Dan Quinn, he comes in with the same identical thing. Put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but in the same token, a team, you can't stop a team from moving down the field. The team just went right down the field. Same thing they was doing when he was with Dallas.
I think that's an interesting call. I'll put it that way, Vincent. The thing is, Dan Quinn coordinated. I'm trying to pull up the stats so I make this exactly right here. But I am fairly certain that they were certainly a top half defense. Here we go. Total defense in points. They were top five two years in a row, top 10 all 3 years that he was in Dallas in points. So, you're going to have to miss me with the, they gave up so much. Their rush defense in Dallas his 3 years was 7th, 3rd, and 11th. So, I would hope that they can get to where they were in Dallas. But here's the big difference, right? Because in yards per attempt, they actually were back half of the league. But they were able to get ahead on teams because they had a better offense. And Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and all those dudes, they were able to rush the passer and finish plays. They got teams in bad down and distances because they actually finished on the pass rush. And they were first, and 12th in takeaways. And that is going to be the key. You can move the ball on this style of defense. It's hyper-aggressive, and there are opportunities. But it comes at a risk. And unless that risk is realized with turnovers, it could be a long year for Washington. And also, again, defensively, this is much more a Jimmy's and Joe's problems than an X's and O's problem. Not that the X's and O's are perfect. Both things can be true. But they got to improve that personnel on the defensive side of the ball. And I have a feeling that is a big investment they'll make in the next offseason. 301-230-0980. Tell the Truth Monday. Let's wrap up here with Darren. Darren, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Now, the truth of the matter, Craig, is we know it takes a time for the secondary to gel. We all know that, you know, to get camaraderie. But if I said that correct, that word.
Camaraderie? Anyway, yeah, that works. That works for me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you for accepting it. Craig, but the thing is this. This is the truth of the matter, my point. If Terry McLaurin is a number two receiver on any good team in the NFL, he is not a great number one, some type of receiver. That he wouldn't be a number one receiver, my point, on some of the good, some of the better teams in the NFL. And these corners are only as good as the players they practice against. So if a full strap up Terry in practice, of course the coaches are clapping their hands. Oh, good job. Yeah, he's balling, you know. But he's doing it against basically a number two receiver. I think my point is this. They're only as good as the people they practice against. That's why Mike Evans, even though he burns everybody, that's why they take him for granted, take him for bad. And you see how soft Forbes is? I mean, Godwin just barely touched him, and he flew back a half a mile. I mean, they just push off of him so easy and get separation.
Yeah, Darren, I hear you. I appreciate the call, man. We got to run because we're up against the clock. But I appreciate it, and I think you raised an interesting point. I do think that there is potentially a false sense of security that we got lured into, certainly last year, and to a sense this year, about some of these corners that we thought may be able to step up because perhaps these wide receivers, or maybe even the inverse, right? We thought guys like De'Ami Brown might be taking a step because they were doing it against corners that turns out aren't very good. I will say, as someone who was at a lot of training camp practices, Emmanuel Forbes wasn't doing that great against Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin was very much the best receiver on the field by a lot in training camp, and he torched dudes deep consistently, torched dudes on shallow stuff consistently. Like, Terry was making plays all over the place, so I don't get that. But when you say, like, oh, Mike Evans torches everybody, like, yeah, he does. And so there is some of this that I think we have to take with, not a grain of salt, but we have to be like, well, damn, that's a bad day at the office. At least we don't got to do that again next week. Now, you got 2 weeks. You got Jamar Chase. You got Malik Nabers next week. But at least you don't have Mike Evans, a particularly large, big-bodied receiver that is a huge problem for the corners on this team historically. And for Forbes, yeah, he's got to play a lot tougher. He's got to play with a lot better leverage. He's got to play with more intensity and physicality. And if he doesn't, then he's going to be gone. And, you know, he did get better. And there is stuff you can evaluate based off of what you saw in camp. But bringing that to the field is no guarantee on Sundays. And Emmanuel didn't bring the good work he did in the last 2 weeks of camp to the field yesterday, which is why we saw the results that they did. That was so much better than when we did that at 4:30, Anthony. Don't tell the 4:30 people. Maybe it's because we played the open. Even if it was half-baked. Maybe it's because we played the open. The first three calls we got when we did Tell the Truth Monday at 4:30 are three of the 10 worst calls we've ever gotten in the entire show's history.
Somebody wasn't there. Somebody was talking to somebody else.
Then we just had one dude yelling.
Yeah, that too. It was a lot going on.
There's a lot of stuff. I almost bagged the segment. But 6:30, I appreciate you. You saved the segment. Tell the Truth Monday returns next week. And hopefully we have some nicer things that we can say about a much better Commander's performance. And we'll have a fully baked open. Maybe they're waiting on us. Maybe this is our fault, Anthony. We're willing to look in the mirror and take responsibility. We're also willing to tell you what's trending and then wrap up our radio show. Sorry for the delay there. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, I don't know what you were laughing at over there, but I'm going to take the show in a slightly serious turn for a moment because the body cam footage from the Tyreek Hill arrest is out, and I didn't get a chance to like watch it with the sound on. But from the second that they asked Tyreek Hill to open his door to his Lamborghini, they're like yanking him out of the car. And there's just absolutely no way that is the proper procedure. Like 3-4 cops around him, just literally yanking him out of the car, mashing his face into the asphalt outside of Hard Rock Stadium. And it's just like, what are we? It was a traffic violation outside a football game for a dude driving a $250,000 car. Who did you think it was going to be when you opened the door? You think that dude's like, look, Tyreek Hill's done some other stuff that perhaps would cause him to be in handcuffs for good reason? If you don't know those stories, go to his Wikipedia page. It's a long, long little controversy section. Speeding, if that's indeed what he was doing, or whatever they accused him of here, is not a reason to yank someone out of a car and push them face down into the asphalt. Like, what?
They said he didn't have his seatbelt on for one of them.
And his windows are like stupidly tinted. Yeah, how could they tell?
Exactly.
How could they tell? I mean, I'm trying to be nice and also process this in real time and not say anything that's going to get me in trouble. I'm just going to be an adult here and hope that everyone listening can be an adult too. There's no reason that the same people that investigate and try to hunt down like active violent situations need to be the one issuing traffic tickets, because the training that you need to undergo to break up a violent situation, let's say, is different than, hey man, can you slow down? What are we doing here? And at that point, like if the training you get is to break up a violent situation and that's all the training you have, that's how you get pulling someone out of a car, mashing their face down into the asphalt for driving too fast to their own football game. Like, you practice. Here's the sports analogy to this. This is a real life like topic that I perhaps will put some more thoughtful pros to tomorrow as we learn more, because I'm guessing more will come out, especially now that this body cam footage is out. But you practice how you play, or you play how you practice. And if practice is nothing but violent situations, then every situation you get in is going to be a violent situation. And that's just not, I will say this personally, it's not the way I want to be policed. I don't think anybody else listening wants to either. Do I want police that are capable of breaking up in case there is an actual violent situation? Absolutely. That's not. This is not anti, you know, having public safety be the top priority. It's actually pro-public safety being the top priority. And there's just no way a situation like this could happen. And to be honest, it happens in America at a rate it doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. And specifically, if we really want to go there and we really want to be adults, it happens to black men in America at rates it doesn't happen to anyone else too. And it's like, I am no Tyreek Hill fan personally because of a lot of other stuff he's done that, again, could have rightfully had him whisked away in handcuffs. But this is ridiculous. There's just absolutely no justification for the escalation that took place yesterday outside of Hard Rock Stadium. That's that. That's my tell the truth Monday. You play how you practice. Why is people say you practice how you play? It's the other way around. Because isn't that what people normally say? You practice how you play? Or is my brain totally mush from?
Yeah, you practice how you play.
But it should be you play how you practice. You practice first and then you play.
Yeah, but you spend so much more time practicing. So how you practice is how you should play.
Oh. I see. You practice how you play.
Yeah.
Anthony, what was your favorite part of the show today?
Favorite part of the show today?
That people like Robert from the 4 o'clock hour can go listen to on the podcast. Because as Robert learned real quick, there's no excuse for missing the show. If you like the show, we make it way too available for you to go find it.
I would have to say me going around the NFL and me having to accept, all right, Josh Allen, you know, he might not be as bad as I, you know, thought he was. You know, he's still not in my top five. But, you know, he had a good outing against the Cardinals. But, you know, it was the Cardinals at the end of the day.
Sure, but he was great.
He was great. It's okay, though. I can accept that maybe I was wrong.
By the way, we'll see at the end of the season. Speaking of you being wrong, what were our records and picks?
We never said
that out loud into microphones.
Yeah, you had a great outing this week. You 11-4 for Craig. Do I really need to say mine?
I mean, I feel like it'd be kind of rude not to.
7-8 for yours truly.
Damn! Hey, yo! I got a 4-game lead already?
Early. I know, man. It's early. Hopefully the Jets give me one back, though, baby. Let's go. They're going to give me one back, Craig. Trust it. They're going to give me one back.
Okay.
You'll see.
Okay. All right. We done in 10 seconds?
I think so. Yep.
Okay. That's our show. Thanks for listening. If you miss any part of it, check out the podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.